My lovely guest has joined me, Robert Johnston from Caremark Cambridge and South Cambridgeshire. Good morning, Robert.
Hi, Lee. Thanks for having me on the show.
Nice to have you here. Now, just tell me a bit, assuming listeners may not have heard of Caremark, so just tell me, what do Caremark do?
Well, we look after people in their own homes, and these are people that, if we didn't look after them, would potentially have to go into a care home or maybe even into hospital. So we look after people in their own homes.
And why? I mean, why is it important to some people that they're cared for in their own homes rather than hospital? You might say, well, hospital might be the best place.
And for some people it is, Lee. But yeah, there's a lot of people that would prefer to stay at home as long as they possibly can. And because we provide care for them there, then they can stay at home longer. And it really is as simple as that.
And what kind of care is that?
It can be anything. Sometimes it starts off with simple companionship because someone's lonely and the family live a long way away. As things potentially deteriorate, it could be things like personal care, it could be medication assistance, all sorts of care just to allow people to stay living at home for longer.
So it goes without saying that your carers are well qualified and trained?
Yeah, they have to be. First of all, they have to go through a thorough vetting process to make sure that that it is safe for them to go and deal with people in their own homes. And then on top of that, we have to train them about, you know, the kind of care that they're going to have to deliver. So that they are very well trained on two levels.
Because, you know, for the person being cared for, they've got a stranger in their home, effectively, and you hope they become more than a stranger. But at first, that working that relationship out might be a bit tricky.
It is. And one of the things that we do as a business is we never let a carer go to a client unintroduced. They have to be introduced by one of the senior management or another carer that's been there before. So we don't send anyone in that the client wouldn't know, because it is important.
What happens if, I mean, you must have scenarios where people don't get along with a care worker. There just isn't that click.
Yeah, very good point, because another one of our principles, and these are simple principles, but they really are important, is we try and match the care and support worker to the client. And you're right, sometimes they don't get along. And sometimes it's on both sides. It can be the client that doesn't get on with the carer, and sometimes the carer will come and say, I really just don't go on with that client. And if that's the case, then you change the carer. It really is pretty simple, but you have to do that, or you can end up with not a good situation.
How big an organisation are you? How many carers do you have? How many people do you look after?
We're still very small. We only set this business up last year, so we've been trading since October. We have 35 clients at the moment, and we have 16 people working in the business. Now, that will double and treble over the coming months and years. But we're still very small at the moment.
And Cambridge and South Cambridge, so what areas, Cambridge is obvious, but what areas do you cover in South Cambridgeshire?
It's all, to keep it simple, it's all South Cambridgeshire postcodes. But these cover all the way down to Royston in the south, Duxford, and in the north we'd go up to villages like Cottingham and Willingham and Waterbeach. So that type of area.
And of course the main contact is with the person being cared for, but they have a family who may be can't look after them or are not fit to look after them, or you know what. So presumably you work with the family as well.
Yeah, very often when we very first make contact, it'll actually be a family member that's contacted us. And we have to do a thorough assessment of each client before we actually deliver any care. So we go out and meet the client and maybe one or two family members and sit down and discuss what the care needs were. Once we've then had that meeting and formulated a care plan and put that all in place, then we can go and deliver the care. But, you know, some clients don't have any family nearby and they have to try and, you know, make do on their own. And that's even more difficult. But on the majority of cases, there will be family members involved.
And what is in a care plan?
Well, it will depend what the client's needs are. As I said before, if it's just simple companionship and we don't need to do any medication support or any personal care, it really will just be maybe going out for the day to the garden centre, taking them to the ballet or the cinema, simple things like that. But if the person is maybe disabled or bedbound, then of course there'll have to be an intense care plan that's put in place that covers their needs.
And I'm presuming quite a lot of your clients or customers, I don't know how you're referring to them, are elderly people. Some might have dementia. I mean, I imagine that's quite challenging.
It is quite challenging, and we put our carers through special dementia training. It's probably the most common situation we get now with elderly people. So dementia is a huge problem for society, and I don't see any solution coming on the horizon. There's lots of agencies like my agency who are working away to try and help people, and I think that's the way it's going to be in the short to medium term.
And when you're defining care, does that include things like housework and cooking meals?
Absolutely. It's really anything that we can help with in your day-to-day life to make your day-to-day life a bit easier. And for different clients, it's different things. So as I say, it can be taking them out, or it can be hoovering or cooking or any household stuff.
And there's been lots of bad publicity recently. Well, I say lots of bad publicity. There seems to be every so often some kind of expose about the perils of private care. So how would people know that it was safe? Because a carer and an individual on their own together, anything could happen. And if somebody who may have dementia, then they might not be believed, or they might forget.
Yeah, and that is a huge problem for the sector as a whole. Another one of the principles that I work to make sure that we are a bit safer than your average agency is, we have a field care supervisor whose role is not to do care calls, but it's to go and check that the carers are delivering is safe and effective. So their role, day in, day out, is to go unannounced and just spot check. And that's not to catch the carers out, but it's to help them make sure they're well trained and that they know what they're doing. But on top of that, it does make sure that our services is as safe as we can and get it.
And I suppose the killer question is the cost, isn't it? Because we all know that care can be quite expensive.
Yeah. And look, we aren't the cheapest agency around, but we're also way below the top end, and we're probably below average. Our Monday to Friday hourly rate is £21. And that's probably, as I say, below the average. But care isn't cheap nowadays, and it isn't going to get any cheaper. And you will get what you pay for. So it really is a choice for clients.
Is there support for people to pay for care, or does it come from savings?
There are. So it depends which route you go down, and it is complex, and you have to make lots of phone calls and find out lots of things about what you're entitled to. The majority of my clients are private, self-funded. But I do have some local authority clients, and each case is slightly different. So there's no sort of easy rule to follow. You do have to make inquiries and find out what you're entitled to.
And what's your background, Robert?
Well, my background's not in care at all. I spent 40 years in retail. The reason I got into care is that my wife and her mother and her best friend had all worked in care for a long time. And when I listened to their stories about how they worked and how their companies operated, I felt there was an opportunity for me to do something and offer a better level of service. And that's what I'm trying to do.
And are you enjoying it?
I'm really enjoying it. First big change of career in my life. And if I'd known what I know now 10 or 15 years ago, I would have changed then.
And I suppose in your role, you do see people's lives change. You know, perhaps somebody who, say, was lonely before or struggling a bit just with everyday tasks, suddenly life becomes easier for them.
Well, it does. And also, some of our clients, and I don't want this to sound like we can magically cure everybody, but some of our clients, you know, are struggling when we first give them care. And within a few weeks or months, they're actually a bit more mobile. They can maybe get out into the community where they couldn't before. So sometimes just that companionship and a little bit of support helps people get back to how they were maybe a year or two earlier.
And we've talked about elderly people. I presume it's not just elderly people that you're looking after.
No, we have some relatively young and middle-aged people who just need our help and support. We have disabled people of all ages. So it is a mix, but predominantly elderly people.
Oh, nice talking to you today. Your website, if people want to find out more about you, well, if they Google Caremark Cambridge and South Cambridgeshire, you'll spring up. Your website's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? But if they Google Caremark Cambridge and South Cambridshire, they'll
appear. They'll find us. Yeah, they'll find us.
Other search engines are available. What does the rest of your day have in store?
I'm back in the office today, just catching up on paperwork, making sure that all the filing and audit and stuff is up to date. So not a very exciting day today.
Well, have a nice weekend. I hope you enjoy it. Lovely to talk to you, Robert.
And you, Lee.